More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Tuesday. I am Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson, and it's great to have you here on 1320 WILS. Tonight we'll hear from Lansing City Clerk Chris Swope, just announcing that he's running for re-election this afternoon. Also, Judge Neil Gorsuch, just how did his hearings turn out? We'll hear from one of the country's top attorneys, get his assessment. But today, Donald Trump going to Capitol Hill telling House Republicans that if they don't support the overhaul of the healthcare system, they're going to lose their elections. But really, the key players in the overhaul are going to be our insurance companies. Here in Michigan, the Michigan Association of Health Plans represents 13 health plans in Michigan, and Dominic Pallone is the executive director of the MAHP. Dominic, great to have you on WILS.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you for having me. Yeah,
do you now, in terms of what the Affordable Care Act did to the companies you represent, what was the impact overall?
Well, the Affordable Care Act itself, I do think, had some positives and some negatives, right? Overall, the positives were that it increased access to affordable health care coverage that our members, our health plans in the state of Michigan and throughout the nation sell to individuals to help them deal with their overall health care needs.
Okay, we see less and less insurance companies being involved in the exchanges. Is that something your companies were facing also then?
You know, in Michigan, it's been a little bit different than the national story. I think, you know, a lot of the national headlines along the individual market have focused in states where there's only one or two insurance carriers left, and in some areas, no insurance carriers left wanting to sell products on these exchanges that were created through the ACA. In Michigan, the story's been different. We've continued to have a dozen or so plans. We've had higher numbers when it first started. But we continue to have a good, robust selection of plans and carriers on our insurance exchange for the individual market.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree that the costs, and especially the deductibles, have been getting to a point that a lot of consumers just can't afford them?
There is concern, obviously, for the overall affordability of coverage, and some of the cost drivers within the healthcare system continue to go up. For example, pharmacy costs continue to go up at astronomical rates. Mm-hmm. Products have to adjust for that, and unfortunately, premiums increase, or we've seen greater shifting of the financial responsibility to the individual. So yeah. Deductibles, copays, co-insurance have gone up as well.
How much are the insurance companies themselves responsible for the high costs?
Well, you know, we have a prohibition and a cap on our profits, so to speak. So the admin for a plan is capped by federal statute. That's part of the ACA currently. And I would expect that to continue with the reform discussion currently going on in DC. But really what we're seeing right now is about 20% of a premium dollar is related to the pharmacy cost alone. About another 19% is related to the hospital costs. Hmm. And then you can go on down the line. So, you know, the leading cost drivers in our nation and certainly here in the state is now pharmacy costs. At a time, it used to be hospital costs.
Hmm. Dominic Pallone with us, Michigan Association of Health Plans. The idea then of repealing, replacing the Affordable Care Act, are you supporting that?
We are supporting reforms to the federal statute. Certainly, you know, we've been very careful, and I don't want to get into the politics of repeal and replace, obviously, but we do think there's always areas for improvement.
Yeah. What's the biggest problem with the ACA right now, though?
Well, I think that, you know, the biggest problem is that it didn't do anything to address the real cost drivers, okay. Pharmacy costs.
And you're saying essentially put a restriction on the costs, is that it?
Well, it has put a limit on what plans can charge. There's also some concerns, obviously, with requirements of the benefit design. So, plans are limited in being able to sell lower cost uh-huh. benefits by the federal statute.
So, from what you're hearing about the GOP healthcare plan, do you like what you hear so far?
No, we don't. I think one of the early conversation points, at least from our association standpoint, is it doing anything to increase access to care? And unfortunately, as the language sits today, as we see the language today, and certainly there's going to be many more changes to this as it moves through the process, it would appear to actually reduce access to care.
Really?
There's some positives in here on the commercial side. There's some major negatives from our opinion on the Medicaid spending for states, though, however, as well.
You don't like the idea of just giving the money and letting states have more control? Or?
Well, on the Medicaid, for example, what we've been asking for is that additional control and that additional flexibility. Unfortunately, it doesn't appear in the versions that we're seeing today. Mm-hmm. What it is on the Medicaid side is the largest shifting of financial cost from the federal government to states possibly ever, but certainly in my lifetime. We're seeing now that the federal government say that they want to get out of the business of being a true partner in providing Medicaid and fundamentally shift that partnership and the cost of that partnership over to the state.
Okay. But the argument that the entire Affordable Care Act system was just unaffordable on its face, did you agree with that?
Well, I think we can certainly agree that we all need to be working, and certainly our association intends to do whatever we can at a state level and national level to work to try to make healthcare more affordable. I don't think that there's we would argue that it's completely affordable to every individual, and I think look no further than our uninsured rate in the state of Michigan, which is currently at 6%. Now, that's an improvement from where it was before ACA, which was up over 10%, so we certainly don't want to go backwards. But what more can we do to make things more affordable? I would say let's work on where those cost drivers are. Let's see what reforms we can make within the pharmacy costs.
Okay, so if that's not addressed, the Republican plan says, look, we're going to give you more options in terms of your companies to offer different plans, and then we're going to give tax credits so people can shop around and buy the plans they want. How do you see that working?
Yeah, I think we're all about competition. Anything we can do to improve choice and competition within our marketplaces here in Michigan, I think, can only benefit the consumer. So we would certainly support that approach. As for the tax credits, the proposal definitely restructures the tax credits. It becomes more favorable for younger individuals and less favorable for older individuals, unfortunately. So there's also some removal of cost-sharing reductions that were built into the ACA that are not in the GOP proposal currently being debated at the federal level. That would have an impact to about half of the individuals currently purchasing insurance on the Michigan Exchange.
Hmm. So under the new plan, what do you see happening with the companies you represent, the health plans? Are they going to have more or less customers in whole?
Well, we're afraid we would have less customers, unfortunately. What we see, and again, this goes off in part by the Congressional Budget Office scoring of the proposal. We see over time, especially a decrease in the number of individuals nationally, but certainly here in Michigan that would have access to care. Mm-hmm. We're afraid we'll see young, healthy individuals exit the marketplace. The so-called young invincibles will once again feel that they're invincible and not want to purchase health insurance.
Yeah, but are they even purchasing it now?
Well, it's a good conversation to have. I think ACA has improved that, obviously, through the mandate provision that exists. But is it enough? Are enough of them doing it? Or I think that's still up for debate.
Those that say, look, we may have more people insured, but the plans simply aren't working for them. They're just too pricey. They can't afford the premiums. What do you say to that? That really it's not as good of a picture as it appears.
Well, I would agree. I think that, to be honest, if you have coverage and it's not affordable coverage for you to maintain, either the deductible is too high, the cost share, the copay is too high, mm-hmm. or the premium is too high to maintain over time, you're less likely to use it, obviously, because you don't want those cost sharing costs to hit you in your pocketbook. But from our perspective, really, let's have that conversation about what reform can be done to help address those overlying and underlying cost parameters. And the biggest, really, for us, cost driver that we see is pharmacy.
The pharmacy, and how do you think they've avoided Well, the microscope from falling on them.
Well, I think they have very good lobbyists in D.C., to be quite candid. You know, they did have a, under the ACA, there was a pharmacy tax. Certainly, we're not supportive of that, and the current GOP discussion would repeal that. But there appears to be no conversation and little substance in the AHCA bill currently before Congress that deals with any pharmacy reforms on costs.
Hmm. You're saying they're making a killing and they're getting away with it? Is that it?
Well, they are in a lot of instances. I mean, we've seen things as simple as EpiPens go up 300%, and those are products that have been generically available for decades. Those are generic drugs that have been manufactured for decades, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason to a lot of the price structure that we've seen as a nation. So our hope is that we can start to have more of a federal conversation about prescription drug benefits, right, and the cost of those drugs, and let's start moving to value-based payments rather than per unit acquisition.
Well, we're not seeing that happening, though, right?
We're not in the current proposal. No, we have heard some conversation, obviously, from the president, certainly during the campaign and even after the campaign, just recently as last week, publicly spoke about wanting to have future phases of this reform effort address prescription benefits, and has talked quite a bit about trying to increase the bargaining power, the negotiating power of the federal government to purchase prescription drugs. So we're hopeful that we can, that conversation will lead to something productive to help drive down costs.
Dominic Pallone, director of the Michigan Association of Health Plans, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Dominic.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.